You are now joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things Star Wars television. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me as always is...
Matt Lacey. We got a really special episode. It's kind of out of the ordinary. We're just kind of popping in to talk a couple specific things. We've got a new episode of The Mandalorian Gallery out.
Disney Gallery.
The Mandalorian. My apologies.
Season 2 finale.
Dash with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and the rest of the cast. So yeah, it longest title ever, but it came out. It's all about how they got Luke Skywalker into the Mandalorian, both in like the philosophy of it and the technical aspects of it. So we're going to talk all about that. And then we've also gotten our first looks at Star Wars Visions.
Yes.
So that's super exciting. And we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, I'm super excited. If you haven't watched the behind the scenes stuff, especially this episode, definitely watch it. Check it out. It's worth a watch. It will get you excited for The Mandalorian again. And excited for the Book of Boba Fett coming up. By the way, did you notice, I'm just kind of like jumping all the way to the end here. Did you notice the music at the end of the episode of this?
I didn't.
It was the Boba Fett theme, and it sounded ominous as Luke Skywalker, Grogu, and R2-D2 got in the elevator and it shut. It was Boba Fett's theme playing, and it made me wonder a couple of things that we'll talk about in this episode as well. Yeah. And then of course, Star Wars Visions. I've been so forward to that.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to talk about that too.
I love the stage we're at with it because we've seen parts of the actual show, but we really don't know too much about each individual story yet still. So it is prime speculation territory. Yeah. So we're going to talk about all of that and more, but we do have a little bit of an announcement that we should probably get in up top, huh?
Yes. Okay. You guys have been asking us, and I don't know what's taken us so long, honestly, to at least get this out.
Laziness, I think.
So, okay. We now have a merch store.
Yeah.
So you can buy t-shirts, you can buy hoodies, you can buy a mug, you could buy a stainless steel cup. Yep. You can buy a fanny pack.
Children of the Watch fanny pack. I'm thinking that might be my first purchase from our own merch store because that thing's pretty sick looking.
As they were talking about on the Discord today, so if you're a part of the Patreon, you already know this. The fanny pack is good for storing Kamino saber darts.
Logically, you know, that's what would go in there.
Logically, of course. Yeah. So it's really cool. All we have right now is just the standard Children of the Watch logo, but we've got some really cool designs that have already, I mean, we already have one design pretty much already done. Yeah. And then we've got some others that are in the works. So we've got some cool shirts and stuff that you guys are now going to be able to buy. And there is a link in the show notes. Whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, you can click on that link and go there and buy some stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, do that. Wear the logo all over the place.
Send us a picture on Twitter or Instagram or something. Tag us at COT Watch because that would be really cool to see you guys wearing Children of the Watch stuff.
Yeah, when you go on vacation, take the shirt with you so you can take a picture of it, you know, at the Leaning Tower of Pisa or whatever.
Yes.
Like a hometown newspaper, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah, so, that'd be awesome. Let's get that going.
If anyone asks you if you're a part of a cult, like if like they're like, what is Children of the Watch? And they ask you if you're a part of a cult, just smile and nod.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Of course I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can be too.
Right.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not only that, just like a cult, there's deeper layers. So if you join the Patreon, patreon.com/TheMandalorianWatch, you get inducted even further.
So you join the inner circle of us, the cult leaders. Yeah,
that's right. And you can actually, if you join the Patreon, you can see a little preview of one of the designs.
Ooh. Ooh.
Cool. I'm pretty excited about that. So I think that's enough of the business, right?
I think so. I think we've covered it. Go buy a shirt or something.
Okay, so what stood out to you in the Disney Gallery, colon, The Mandalorian, colon, Season 2, colon, The Making of Season 2 finale?
Break into Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, so there was a lot. There was a lot that stood out to me. Many very just emotionally driven moments, especially everything with Mark Hamill. Just seeing him get to interact with the character again, you know, the character that he really pioneered and brought into the world. That's the character of Luke, or at least the performance aspect of it is, kind of like a child almost to him, it seems like. And I love that he's still interested in parenting that child,
It's really cool to see how much ownership he takes over that character. And like they even mentioned it, like he even in the interviews and stuff, he was saying he just assumed that they would recast, and but clearly it was a big deal to him for them to ask him back to come and do that stuff. So that I thought that was really cool. They spent a lot of time defending not doing the deep fake. A lot of time of like, hey, listen, number one, it wasn't as good as it is now in 2019. Also, there's some moral ethical things that go with it. It's like, okay, we get it. Like, you'll do it next time. It's no big deal.
It's all good.
Like, we're not going to attack you for it. Like, we know that next time Luke Skywalker shows up, which I'm kind of feeling like he is going to show up again.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot, but he will.
I think. Right. Like I don't think in the Book of Boba Fett or anything like that, but I think, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right. Well, let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to that topic. Right.
Just pin in that. Yeah,
pin that right there. Yeah, I don't know, but we're definitely going to get, we're going to see this version of Luke again, I think.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
They went through all this effort, and I know, they give a big talk about the legacy aspect of it, making sure they're handling it correctly and everything, but I really think they're investing in this much because they're planning on having Luke kind of sprinkled in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so we'll see deep fake Luke later. Though I will say the guy that they got to play him like physically there,
Max the stand-in.
I was like, let Max the stand-in just be Luke.
Yeah, he looked,
he sold it
for sure. He looked a lot like Mark Hamill. He had sort of the same like attitude aura about him that Mark had at that time. Mm-hmm. His name starts with an M, so I think it's a logical
name.
Progression.
It's pretty cool. Like he's kind of like already like Cher. Bono.
Uh-huh. Sting.
Prince.
Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Max.
Max, the stand-in. Yeah. So up there with the greats.
Yes. Up there with the greats for sure. Okay. So you are a big technical guy. You are someone who like, the behind the scenes stuff more than anybody that I know, because like you do that kind of stuff. So like what are some things that you learned in this episode that you didn't know before?
I mean, just the process of how they actually do the facial reconstruction stuff. So whether it be a fully CGI character or a for anyone who's not watching, Alex is eating on getting dinner in when you can, I guess. So I'm just going to push through while yep. All right. I'm going to push through it. Yeah. But just seeing how the actual process of the facial recognition stuff, how they sample, different things from like, they're even going into like interviews, like audiobooks that actors have read to get voice stuff. They're just like taking all these scraps and amalgamating it into a digital creation to tell a story, to bring a character to life. It's crazy just the extent that they go to find references and stuff for that.
But
that was super cool getting to learn about the egg.
Explain that to me, because I don't think I fully understood that.
This is the first time I heard of it was earlier today when I watched the thing. So I don't know much about it, but from what I understand, basically they were taking him off the sound stage into the egg to basically redo the camera angles and stuff they had already gotten, and to mimic the lighting, but so that they could get like super duper high resolution, super clear, crisp imagery to like remap textures and stuff onto his face.
Interesting.
They have the lighting panels and everything so that they can simulate the different lighting environments that the character's going through in the scene. I don't know. So I think it probably just aids and makes it faster to do all the modeling work. You're just kind of capturing your textures in real time.
That's cool.
So I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I thought it was just something cool to learn about. I had never even thought of that being a step in the process or anything. So
really cool. So, okay, Luke Skywalker's back. What I really loved about the episode is that in the script, it was Plo Koon instead of Luke Skywalker, which if you know anything about Dave Filoni, Plo Koon is his favorite character of like all time.
Yeah, I've always wondered what the basis of that is. It's got to just be on look, right? Because until Dave took an interest, there was no character to speak of, you know, that was just a look, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, Plo Koon, he was on the Jedi Council, sat in some meetings and died in a starfighter. That was the resume there.
Maybe.
dun, dun, dun.
But I don't know, like reading the script then, like how disappointed would you be reading the script? Because like the actors didn't even know, right, that it was going to be Luke Skywalker.
Right. I think when you're an actor, you're never even thinking about that anyway. You're thinking about your performance, the character.
Yeah.
I don't think you're like, oh, this is a weird script choice, really. You know,
right.
Unless you're probably also a writer. But yeah, I mean, that it was funny to me how they the lengths they went to cover their tracks on it. Like even making fake dailies, like with Plo Koon's head, doing fake scripts and like, just,
I guess they put so much effort into that one moment. They just didn't care about the Ahsoka Cobb Vanth thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, we're going to put all of our effort into making sure no one knows that this is Luke Skywalker. Who cares about if people know if Ahsoka's coming or Cobb Vanth?
Or if Boba Fett's in it, yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And then it made me wonder, though, like, are they going to bring Plo Koon back at some point, though? Like,
surely not.
I honestly don't know with Dave Filoni. Like, he could.
I would rather have Plo Koon in his prime, or maybe not even in his prime, but as a young Jedi, like making his name. That's the stories I would rather get. I don't need him to come back from the dead.
Okay, question then. Would you rather have Mace Windu or Plo Koon come back?
If I was going to have one of those, you have two, to have one. Plo Koon.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, just because I think either would be
weird. Either would be stupid, but Mace Windu coming back, I feels like really negates that moment of Anakin becoming Darth Vader.
Yeah. There was like really no consequences, like lasting things that would have led to his turn at that. Yeah.
Right. I'm fine with Plo Koon coming back because, like, he went out like a punk in a Starfighter. So it's like, okay. At least Mace Windu went out cool, right? Like, Mace right. Windu had Palpatine beat. Like, he had him beat. And this whole right. thing would have been over if it were not for Anakin Skywalker. So, like, I kind of feel like that his death is actually really important in that moment.
Right. I know I said there were no lasting consequences. I was ignoring the entire temple full of dead younglings. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
RIP. So, yeah. Anything else really stand out to you in terms of this episode? Like, I thought it was cool how they constructed the face, the de-aging thing, but really I was more interested in, like, how did they nail the voice? Because the voice to me was more impressive than the face.
Yeah.
And we even talked about that in our breakdown that we did yeah. when it came out. Like, we were just so impressed by the voice.
Right. And it's a fully synthesized voice. So they've been using fully synthesized voices. Unkar Plutt, I think, his voice is complete. It's just a synthetic creation. So yeah, it's cool. They just took, like they said, he had read a book on tape at one point. They had done the radio dramas, giving interviews, things like this. So they have a lot of, you know, sample material, clean. They had clean ADR from the films. If you don't know, most of the dialogue you hear in films is recorded afterwards. maybe not most, it depends on the production, but a lot of times, particularly back in the day, because audio technology isn't, you know, improved. But yeah, just they're taking all of that, putting it into a big digital blender, blending it up, and then just out comes a Luke voice. Crazy.
That is really crazy. So, like, do you see them using that technology more and more for stuff like this? Like, if Luke comes back more than once, like, are they going to be using the, so, like, I guess my question is this: say they decide not to do the deep fake or de-aging and they recast an actor, like with Solo. Yeah. Like, that was the biggest thing that, like, this is not Han Solo in moments, because Alden Ehrenreich's voice, his pitch is so much different than Harrison Ford's. Do you think they would do something like that where it's like they give him Harrison Ford's voice?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to get like that wide scale, just simply because of the fact that it's so much cheaper to have an actor talking to a microphone. I mean, we're doing it right now for free. And then, like, whereas there's tons of post-production work that goes into synthesizing a voice. So sure. I think I don't think they're ever going to, you know, do an entire, like, main character like that or anything. I think it's really cool for when you're trying to make, like, I would love if we have a speaking Ithorian in live action.
Yeah.
Like, doing some stuff with that, you know, if he's using some kind of translation device, you could synthesize a voice that would be like, you know, an Ithorian trying to talk through a translating device. Like, so I think specific applications like that is where it's going to continue to come into, or, like, you know, making Luke young again. I don't think you're ever going to see, like, Alden Ehrenreich with completely a synthesized Harrison Ford voice the whole movie.
I don't think that's weird. I love that they did make mention, like, hey, the face technology, like, we are probably going to get to a point one day where it's going to be very hard to tell, but, like, there is just something about us being able to immediately spot, like, that's not a real face, because we study faces all day long, right? Like, we know inherently, we know without knowing the little small giveaways of that's real and that's not. I thought that was a good point that they brought up with that, of like, it doesn't really matter how far we get with it. A lot of times you're still going to be able to tell, just because, like, there's some unnatural movement or, like, something about it that just does not seem real.
Yeah. It's the uncanny valley.
Yeah.
Like they were saying, like, all of us are experts in human faces. So we know, like, we spend a lot of time looking at them. Like every person we're talking to, we're looking at their face, you know? So
it makes me wonder, like, how did the artist at Westworld really just come up with those amazing faces? Did you see that article recently that Disney is looking to like build robots that live in the park?
I'm like, we've been here before. We've covered this ground. This is not a good idea.
How, I mean, but seriously though, think about it. You're at Galaxy's Edge, right?
Yeah.
And then Kylo Ren literally murders you. Pretty cool way to go out. Like if you get a chance to choose the way you go out, it's like, here's your options. Murdered by Kylo Ren is pretty high on my list.
I love that in this fantasy scenario where there's Android park like cast members and stuff, we went straight to they become sentient and start killing us all.
Of course they are.
Yeah, right. There's no intermediate ground where it's like, no, it'd be great to have this as an entertainment venue. No.
Think about how frustrated that android of Kylo Ren would be because he can't use the Force.
Oh.
Golly, he's going to be so mad.
Right.
And after they build real lightsabers, we're in trouble.
It's over.
We're dead.
You got to learn how to fight before you go to Galaxy's Edge because you got to defend yourself.
Literally bring Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, Beskar is required, actually. It's required PPE for park going.
Pretty cool. So, Murdered by Kylo Ren is the alternate title to this episode. So, to end it, let's talk a little bit about that musical cue at the end. I'm telling you, that was purposeful. They played Boba Fett's music as Din Djarin was watching them get into the elevator and it closed. Was that just to like subtly remind us that the Book of Boba Fett is coming? Or was that some sort of hint at something like, hey, we're going to come back to something that's hinted at here in the show in the Book of Boba Fett? Like, is that a possibility?
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility. So just where I'm at, I think it was more probably a subliminal thing. They're just like, and remember, the next thing you're gonna see from live action Star Wars is the Book of Boba Fett. But let's just, for the sake of the discussion, let's say that it's something more.
Yeah.
There's some ulterior motive for placing that motif there. I think it would, I mean, do you think that they would be implying Luke is going to show up in the Book of Boba Fett, or are you more thinking it's implying like something with Grogu, or?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing is like, I don't think Luke would be in it, but I mean, we're assuming, and I think it's pretty much almost confirmed at this point, there's going to be flashbacks, right?
Yeah.
In this one. So Luke is like kind of the reason Boba Fett went into the Sarlacc pit. Well, I mean, Han, but still, like, I don't know. I could see a scenario where we see a flashback with Luke, or I could see a scenario where we do see Luke and Grogu. But I honestly, what I guess I'm thinking is it has more to do with Din being alone. And we will see Din in the Book of Boba Fett in that
scene. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much a given. We know pretty spot on that Din's going to be in it. I mean, that's all but confirmed, you know? that could be it. That motif also could be just like alluding to the fact that they're going to be using a lot of the de-aging techniques and stuff on Temuera Morrison. For flashbacks and stuff like that. So we might be getting a lot of him as like younger Boba.
Or Jango.
True.
Yeah. Which would be awesome.
Yeah. But like we've never seen Boba with that face and everything as an adult.
That is true. That is a very good point by you.
Like imagine like the movie Clones, but it's Boba Fett.
Mm.
And hopefully with a real suit of armor.
Mm.
So like what if,
What if he runs into other clones? I mean, like, that goes into the rumors. This is just rumors and speculation that Commander Cody is going to be in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm.
I mean, it's like, if they're doing it for that, why not do it for the Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah. I mean, as we know, clones and cloning, so hot right now.
So hot right now. Cloning is so hot right now. Oh, by the way, we didn't get to talk about this on the show. That mountain was Mount Tantus.
Yes. Yes.
From the Bad Batch.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you are completely lost, number one, go back and watch the Bad Batch and then join us for the Bad Batch recap. Go and listen to those episodes. But there was a mountain at the end of that episode where they took, basically they're cloning in that mountain because cloning's so hot right now. But that mountain is from Legends, like the old EU, and that's the mountain Thrawn used to clone Jedi. Right. So I think Thrawn is really into cloning right now because it's so hot right now. I mean, so hot. So I think whatever Thrawn is up to. So again, if you haven't listened to the Bad Batch recap, you didn't watch the Bad Batch, I'm telling you right now, my speculation that Thrawn is looking to clone something. Yeah. And he might be using that exact mountain from the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
To do it.
I mean, we've been speculating along these lines even as early as Mandalorian season 2, with the mention of Thrawn and then, like, you know, Pershing's experiments and stuff like that. We've already kind of been making that connection even as far back as that.
Well, I mean, even as far back as season 1 though, like, you know, Pershing was doing weird things with Grogu.
I think I meant season 2.
Yeah. So, but then, like, Quill mentioned Strandcast, right? Like they're kind of like been setting it up since season 1 that something's going on with cloning.
Right. I mean, we still don't know like what they wanted with Grogu.
Right.
Yeah.
And everyone assumes it has something to do with Palpatine, and it might, but I think it's not Snoke. I don't think it's Palpatine, though they will use what Thrawn is doing, and it's a separate third thing.
Yeah. They're the end of all of this process, but there's a big thing in the middle that we don't know about yet. And that's what we're building to.
Right. So like Snoke is a clone. He's a created thing, but he can use the Force. Someone had to figure that out first.
Right.
That's what I think Thrawn did.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where we're heading. All the signs are pointing there. We've got everything like... This is the first time I've really honestly gotten that everything is canon, everything's happening in a shared universe feeling.
Yeah.
Because like everything has still felt just like its own isolated story, kind of like the sequel trilogy, that's a thing, you know. Then you've got the prequels, those are a thing. Original trilogy is kind of mixing into all of it because it was the first one. It's been around the longest, but this really feels like, okay, everything that's coming out Star Wars right now is all, we're telling individual separate stories, but we see the threads coming together.
It's fun because like, we don't get to do this a lot in Star Wars like other franchises do, like specifically Marvel, but I'm also thinking about stuff like Lost, TV shows like that, where it's based on or Game of Thrones, even like you get to speculate, okay, we're seeing all the threads, but where is it leading? Star Wars has always, for the most part, been pretty straightforward with a lot of things. Now I'm not saying, like, of course, like the Darth Vader being the father, Leia being the sister, like all those things we didn't see coming. Those were huge reveals, but like, that happened so long ago. You know what I mean? Like we don't get to have as much fun speculating over those things and seeing all the threads weave together to make, oh, we talked about this. We hope for this. And then it happens.
Right.
And then it turns out Mephisto is behind it all.
So this, like, it feels right now a lot like 2015 did, like, yes, leading up to The Force Awakens, because, like, The Force Awakens, we had a bunch of information to go on that we were speculating from. I felt like we had a lot more official information coming out about that movie, maybe because they felt like they needed to push more on the marketing side. Yeah. I don't know. But, like, this is, we have a lot of information now that's come through the last few shows and stuff that have come out. And so, like, it feels like that level of speculation again. After The Force Awakens with The Last Jedi, there was still a lot of unanswered questions. And then, like, after The Last Jedi,
you kind of killed it because it's like, well, I mean, Snoke is dead. So, like, what we were the fun speculation had to do with Snoke, and he's dead. So it's like,
which is great. Like, it was a great twist. I love the story. But, like, It killed momentum on speculation because it felt like The Last Jedi kind of wrapped up in its own thing.
And we were right there.
Right. And we were like, what's coming next? We don't know. There's really nothing to go off. It's just, and we just, like, walked right into it blind, you know?
Well, I think that's what's so cool about the way The Mandalorian season 2 ended. We felt almost the same way we did about The Last Jedi of, like, okay, what's next? But then The Bad Batch came out and re-upped everything of, like, oh, no. These two things are all in one world, and we're building towards something, and it matters. And so it's like, okay, I'm down for that. Like, I love those connections that you see. Like, if I'm watching The Bad Batch, I see the connections to The Mandalorian, right?
Right.
I see the chain codes, which they talked about on this Disney Gallery thing.
Yep.
I see that, and I see the cloning. I see Mount Tantus, which is connected to Thrawn. Like, all these subtle things, they're not just outright saying, but you've got to make the connection as the fan. I'm down for more experiences like that. Like, it makes you want to watch it all, because then it's like, I got to find the clues to figure out the puzzle. Like, that's fun.
Right.
That's just fun to do. So, like, any more opportunities to do that in Star Wars, I love, because, like, I love doing that with Marvel stuff. I love seeing how, you know, Loki might be connected to the new Spider-Man movie, or, you know, like, I like doing that. I want to do that with Star Wars.
Right.
So they're kind of doing that.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you'll remember, at the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian, I was pretty hesitant of the direction that stuff was going. I was a little worried about taking it into a more Marvel-like model, if you will. I hate that that everything just gets compared to Marvel that has any kind of shared universe type stuff.
Well, they're the best to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like we have more material coming out than I thought, like, I was going to feel like there was coming out, you know?
Yes,
and there's more opportunities to tell good, solid stories, because we're getting this super good, tight story with The Bad Batch. I'm invested in those characters. We're seeing them, you know, go through their entire arc. And then it's just here and there added to it, we're getting pieces of this overarching story. And I like how that's happening. Like, season 2 of The Mandalorian felt like, okay, every episode we're just trying to introduce a new character and stuff like that. And that's kind of what put me off a little bit. But so far it hasn't felt the same way. It's felt more organic, more like, you know, a lived in universe, if you will.
I wonder if, like, by the Book of Boba Fett, even if we can look back on season 2 of The Mandalorian and be like, that's why they were doing that, is because they were like, this was the quote unquote Iron Man 2 of the Mandalorian verse. It's like, really, like, okay, like, I see what you're doing with all these cameos now, because you're setting something bigger up than we didn't even really know about before, which makes sense in hindsight. So yeah, that's cool. Like, I really like that idea of the shared universe within Star Wars, right? Like, I'm still curious to see if Omega makes any sort of impact on the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, especially, so, I mean, I would love it if we met an older Omega, an older Boba Fett. They're the same age, and they have a history, and we don't get it.
Yes.
But you can tell that they have a history together.
That'd be cool.
And so, like, Omega just shows up in the Book of Boba Fett, plays her part, and maybe exits, and we don't have that middle piece, and we get to figure the middle piece out.
Yeah. It would be really cool if she's, like, wearing pieces of each of their armor. The
whoa,
Bad Batch's armor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she has a little bit of, you know, Hunters, a little bit of Tex, Echoes, Wreckers, even. That would be cool.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
With Crosshair's gun. Let's go. That would be awesome. We'll see. We'll see on that front. But again, it's really cool to see like the shared universe stuff happening with Star Wars. But we've got something else coming out September 22nd that is actually not part of the universe of Star Wars.
It's like anti-shared universe.
Here's what I love about the concept of this is, number one, they're in 2015, they would never do anything like this.
Right.
So I'm glad they've kind of grown into, let's just tell fun Star Wars stories with Star Wars Visions. Number two, these could be like the stories that they tell in universe, in the Star Wars universe, right? Yeah. Like these are the stories that they tell each other. They're fictional within the Star Wars universe that they tell one another.
This is an Onderonian folk legend or something, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, yes. And I would love if they played into that a little bit. Uh-huh. Cause then we could like learn a little bit about other aspects of the galaxy through like how the story is told and stuff. I don't know. That'd be really cool when you've got like,
that's exactly what Thrawn does, right? Like he studied.
I was just going there. What if at the end of the series, it's just Thrawn watching all of these.
Yes. I would love
just
that
studying
so
up
much.
For battle.
Oh, God. That would be incredible. Like I would lose my mind at that. Like Thrawn, you dog, you.
Yeah. And then that teases however he's gonna be coming into the what if we get the debut of live action Thrawn
in
at the
Star
end
Wars
of Star Wars Visions.
He's just watching art. Oh man,
that'd be fun. Awesome. Yeah, but I'm with you. These are like it's room to do those what if stories, like you know, like Marvel Comics used to do and stuff, and then we're doing a Marvel what if show.
They're doing
too, right?
Now. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's cool. We get to tell whatever story they want and use, you know, whatever pieces they want, and it doesn't matter. So you can go big. And I think the anime format is perfect for that because it's just such a larger than life medium. You know, everything is so big. And I'm so excited to get to just see how that marries with the world of Star Wars.
I mean, from what we saw in the trailer, it's like, and I think Adam Christopher on Twitter said this, it's going to be really hard to go back to some of the visuals after seeing what we saw in the trailer. It's like, wow. Like imagining Star Wars in such a way that you've never seen before, which is really cool. Like that in one of them, the dude extends like a helicopter lightsaber. Like, I don't even know how to describe that thing.
It's like helicopter blades on the end of a pole.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like, that's so, it's just like such a goofy, fun thing. And I'm so glad that there's an outlet for us to get that through, you know?
Yeah. I think your favorite is going to be about the Tatooine punk rock band.
How could it not? I mean,
opening up the Mos Espa pod racing.
Yeah, how could it not? I mean, they're writing my biography in the Star Wars universe.
You know who's voicing the character for that one?
No, I don't think so.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, they've got some really good actors to portray the voices in this. And of course, I'm going to watch it both ways. I'm going to watch the English version, but then also watch the Japanese version.
I'll probably watch it subbed first. Yeah. I love subbed anime. Just, I don't know. I feel like the music of the dialogue is different, I think. So, yeah. I'm also just really excited to get more, like, different perspectives than we normally get telling Star Wars stories. I feel like, so like, if you think about like your Jon Favreau's, your, like, you know, your Rian Johnson's, your JJ Abrams, they're all coming from similar worlds, right? They're coming from Hollywood. And now, with, you know, the different anime studios being all over the place, it seemed like, and just they're outside of that Hollywood bubble, you know, and the Disney bubble and
the Star Wars bubble, even
the Star Wars bubble. Yeah. And so I think we're just going to get some really refreshing perspectives and takes on the property. I'm just really excited.
I think one of the stories actually takes place after episode 9, which is cool. Like that is like, because like, I think the story basically is the First Order finds these twins and starts training them, but it's after episode 9. So it's like, This could potentially be good inspiration for further stories down the line. You know what I mean? Like someone might be inspired by these things and actually add it to the canon.
Right. I mean, that's how Star Wars is working up until this point, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, like we've spent a lot of an episode talking about a character from a Legends novel that made its way into canon, you know?
Yeah.
Thrawn. So, yeah, no, for sure. I think we'll probably see that, and I'm excited.
I'm excited too. And there's also a novel coming out that kind of expands one of the stories called Ronin, and I'm super excited because it's like about the Sith Lord and Jedi Lords. They're calling them Jedi Lords, which is cool. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. I don't know how I feel, but it doesn't matter because this is like new Star Wars that it's not the same thing, but with different characters. Like this is different,
right?
Whatever this is, I like it.
Yeah. And that story looked like it was just very much going to be inspired by like feudal Japan's visuals and stuff. It felt like watching a samurai movie even more than watching Star Wars already feels like watching a samurai movie.
Yeah. I'm pumped. That comes out September 22nd. And like, I think we've been spot on in terms of how the Lucasfilm marketing team works.
Yeah.
As soon as that's over, I would say look for a week after September 22nd for us to start seeing some Boba Fett stuff, because like, that's when I'm going to be on guard. I'm going to be looking over my shoulder. I'm going to be checking Twitter constantly. And you better subscribe to the podcast and YouTube, because we, of course, will break it down in scene by scene details. I mean, we will look at it with a fine tooth comb. I mean, just magnifying glasses, CSI enhancing technology.
We actually have technology that can actually do that. So
that's what we use the Patreon money for.
Yeah. Enhancing.
Enhancement
budget. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Enhance. And then it also comes with a like a AI assistant that you can just start talking to your computer by saying computer and computer enhanced.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would say after Visions comes out, and we'll probably talk about that after it comes out. I think comes out on one day. So it's not going to be like a every week thing. It's all coming out at one time. So you can just kind of consume it that way. And I think, honestly,
we'll probably give it a few weeks and then do a big blowout episode on it, something like that.
That's probably a wise decision with Visions, because like, I have a feeling that there's going to be some stories that people really love, and there's going to be other stories that some people it just doesn't connect with. And so like, you don't want to draw it out, because like, then you lose people if you come across a story you don't connect with, because you can't watch the next one yet. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of wise, because like, some of them, like I already feel like I probably won't like that one as much as these other ones that look really cool. And that's okay. You know, like that's just exactly how Star Wars should be. There should be something, a little bit of flavor for Star Wars for everybody.
Right.
So Absolutely. I think that was a good decision on their part.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm pumped. Yeah, just stay tuned. We'll keep you updated on how we're going to cover Visions and everything like that. But do you have anything else to add to the Visions portion?
Nothing to the Visions portion. I would just say make sure you check out our store.
Yep.
And buy a shirt, buy a hoodie, buy a fanny pack, buy a mug.
A baby onesie.
There is a baby onesie. So if you're expecting, or you can get a baby onesie. There's cool stuff. And again, there's going to be more coming. So make sure you follow us over on Twitter and Instagram at COT Watch. You can also join the Patreon, which gives you extra bonus episodes and also some hints of some things to come as well. Ooh. They already kind of know what the next design is. So pretty cool, if you ask me.
All right.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for joining us for just kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a different one, kind of a out of the ordinary episode, but thanks for sticking with us.
We got to mention, they film season 3 of The Mandalorian next month.
Oh, yeah.
In September.
That's kind of a big fantastic deal. News, too. That is a big deal.
There's really nothing else to say except that they're filming now, yeah. So that's good.
It's just always good to see the momentum, you know? Season 3 like felt like it was not going to happen for a second.
I was worried.
But cool. I'm glad they're at least thinking about it. So.
Cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time. But until then, keep the watch.